Do you feel frustrated trying to grow your franchise? Are you having trouble balancing your consumer and franchise development marketing? Do you wish there was an easier way? Imagine if you had a proven roadmap to take your franchise's marketing from costing you to making you money. That's why we've created the Franchise Growth Blueprint. We walk you through the exact same process that we use to run franchise marketing campaigns for our clients at scale that has resulted in triple digit growth. This blueprint isn't for anyone. It's not for people just starting a franchise. It's not for franchises without long-term goals. This is for franchises that want to scale up their marketing in a predictable and profitable way using a proven roadmap. If you want to sell more franchises, keep your current franchisees happy, and learn from people who have already done it, go to franchisegrowthblueprint.com and sign up today. That's franchisegrowthblueprint.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Franchise Marketing Podcast. I am super excited to have a fellow Canadian on the show today, Kyla Dufresne of Victoria, BC. And she is with Foxy Box Wax Bars. Kyla, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
No problem. So for our audience that doesn't know you, could you give a brief introduction of yourself and Foxy Box?
Sure, yeah. So my name is Kyla Dufresne. You got it right, which is awesome. It's spelled like Dufresne. I live here in Victoria, BC. I'm the founder and CEO of Foxy Box Wax Bars. We have two corporate locations, three franchise partners all over here on the West Coast. Primarily on Vancouver Island. Our first one on the mainland is opening up this December, which is super exciting. So that will be Port Coquitlam. We're coming for you. Mm-hmm. And some exciting news. I don't know if I can say it yet because papers aren't signed, but we've got some, we'll be coming to your neck of the woods, Jordan, actually, very, very soon. So hopefully expanding across to Toronto as well.
Very soon. Wow. That's awesome, Kyla. So how did you first get started in the franchise space? Like, what made you want to franchise?
Well, since I started this business, I always knew that I wanted to franchise. Having said that, I didn't know what that actually meant. So I actually sold my first franchise before I even knew what that meant. Through a lot of trial and error, we put a pause on franchising. I did a lot of work on the back end, and then we went back to market, and now we're over-prepared and ready to franchise and take on the world, which is an exciting place to be in. But we wouldn't be where we are without our, you know, mess ups along the way, if you will, which I like to call my Harvard educations.
So, tell me more about your Harvard education.
Right. So, I like to pluralize it because there's a lot of Harvard educations that came in this last 8 years. So yeah, Foxy Box became an idea 8 years ago after my first waxing experience. There wasn't really a place that was convenient that you could go and get waxed. And you could go in that back in, you know, 8 years ago, you go to a back of a nail salon or to a high-end spa, and you were going to spend an hour in a dimly lit room and spend $100 on a Brazilian wax, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of Foxy Box came to light, and so I worked very hard bartending, saved up all my money, used my tips to fund Foxy Box, and then organically grew to here we are now. But in between then and now, there has been a lot of Harvard educations. One of them being, I've got three in particular, so I guess maybe I'll go in a sequential order. So my first Harvard education was, Foxy Box was doing really well. I was experiencing very quick growth. So I decided that, I should expand into new markets and offer more services. Mm-hmm. So I took a big sidestep and opened another business and rebranded, offered new services. So I called it Foxy Lady. I went into kind of a higher end market, did nails, lashes, waxing, hair. I offered a full service beauty salon. What that did was cause a lot of confusion from my clients because I used the same logo but changed the name and used different coloring. So a lot of clients were, messaging, Kai, did you know that someone is using your logo in Oak Bay? And, you know, and so that caused a lot of a confusion by rebranding. The second thing that I did wrong was offering services that I had no clue about. So with waxing, I am self-proclaimed the best waxer in the world. So I went to school for that. I practiced it. I got very good at it. That's how I built Foxybox. So I've written and filmed all the curriculum. I know how to train people on waxing. But when I offered all these other services, you know, my nail techs left and they went and opened their own salon. My hairstylist left, went and opened her own salon. So when I had to rehire, you know, I was bringing people on, and when they were putting out a poor product, I had no idea how to correct them. So a few things. One, it was very challenging to find someone that was good at all of those services. And two, I didn't know how to fix the business when they were putting out a poor product. So I was only in business just about a year, and I decided to close the doors and walk away from that business. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't regret it for anything in the world. That location taught me how to be a good boss, a good leader, and really to stick to my business model, which I know. That's Harvard education one. Do you have any questions on that one? Because there's like a lot more.
let's go into number two.
Yes, sure. So my second Harvard education is I sold a franchise before I knew what the hell a franchise was. So like I mentioned before, when I started this business, I knew I wanted to start a wax bar. I wanted to call it Foxy Box, and I wanted to franchise, and I wanted to take over the world without really knowing what franchising meant. So I sold a Jordan, it was a license agreement, but let's be real. Like, if you sell a license, just to clarify for anyone who is listening outside of the franchise world, if you sell a license and you operate it as a franchise, it just automatically becomes a franchise. So I say license agreement because maybe it's easier on me, but like, I sold a franchise, and I sold it to two of my top estheticians. And where do I start with this Harvard education? Let me tell you all the things I did wrong. So the first mistake that I made was I was still working in Foxybox full-time taking clients. I was building out my flagship store. So we were expanding and moving my location while my franchisees were building out their store. So essentially I wasn't available to them. So when they needed me, you know, I was busy taking clients still. So that really created a toxic relationship from the word go. They hated me because I wasn't available, and by rights, you know, they should be. When they opened their doors, Jordan, if you walked into the Foxy Box West Shore, you would have no idea it was a Foxy Box other than it had the color red on the wall and the sign outside. After, you know, they were open probably 3 or 4 months when we realized that we had a problem. You know, our relationship was not very good. So I put a pin on everything. I hired a franchise coach, Angela Cote. I'm sure maybe you've heard of her. Her father started M&M Meat Shops. Mm-hmm. So I put a pin in everything, stepped out of my business, hired Angela Cote. I worked with her for a year and systemized everything. The biggest thing that I learned with working with her, which is something that people need to understand when they want to franchise, is, you know, when you franchise, you're no longer in the business of running a wax bar or owning a wax bar. You're in the business of selling and supporting wax bar businesses. That's your job. So as soon as I start taking money from people, my job is to support you in making money. And so I didn't understand that with franchising. I thought, you know, yeah, I've got an awesome business and now everyone can have an awesome business. And, you know, but I didn't, the support and what my role then became, I had no idea what franchising really was. So that was a really important mindset shift that I had to make. And it was a fairly easy one. And, so I stepped out of my business, systemized everything. We have a look and feel guide now. So when you walk into a Foxy Box, it looks like a Foxy Box. It's easy to replicate. There are a few things. I mean, we know what we're looking for, in franchisees as well, for our partners. I mean, another mistake I think was I don't necessarily know if we had the right partners from the beginning. When I thought I wanted to franchise, I thought that meant I was going to sell to estheticians. They would open their store, and that's how I was going to grow the business. And that's because that's how I grew Foxybox. But how I grow Foxybox is not necessarily how I'm going to grow the company. What we realized really quickly is our franchisees in West Shore didn't want to get out of the treatment room. And when you're in the treatment room, as I knew, because I couldn't support them, you can't grow your business or work on your business when you're in there full-time taking clients. So moving forward, our franchisees are not allowed to take clients. So by the end of our relationship, we had West Shore as a partner for about a year and a half, and then we decided to separate. So we gave them a couple of options, one to buy their business back. It is a successful business. Or we would let them keep their location and change their name. We just needed to separate because the relationship was just not good from the start. So they chose the latter. So they still operate in West Shore. And, you know, I'm still good friends with one of the owners, which is, I think, a testament to our culture, which is really awesome. And they're doing well, and so are we, and we'll continue to grow. And again, like I said, we're at a pretty incredible phase in getting ready to franchise because of that experience.
Interesting. And you lightly touched on something that I want to dig deeper into, and that's culture. Mm-hmm. So I was speaking with Gary Prenevost from Franet in an earlier episode, and he talks a lot of he brought up, you know, culture, not just from a franchisor to franchisee level, but from a franchisee to franchisee level. So I'd love to learn a bit more about, you know, what are you doing to build such a great culture, you know, where you're still quite close friends with you know, with your franchisees, former mm-hmm. franchisees, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, we really I did a branding retreat. It was a brand identity workshop, I guess, a few years ago. And I think that really set us up for success in maintaining our culture as we grow and scale. I always knew Foxybox is cool. Everyone knows Foxybox is cool. We've got like a dope name and that, you know, all of our staff are super cool, but I didn't know why. And so I did this branding retreat where I spent 2 days with specialists, and we did actually, one of them is a therapist. So we went dug deep into me and why I started the brand and what I'm trying to accomplish and what we want to be remembered for. And then we did the brand identity, who we are, what we want to be known for, what we want our marketing to portray, decision-making funnels. Like, we came up with all of this, which is exactly why we are able to maintain our culture as we grow and scale. So we've systemized all of those things that we did, all of that work that we put in, we've systemized that. So as far as the B2C, you know, well, all of our staff members, for example, you have to have 3 things to work at Foxybox: a positive attitude, empathy, and you have to be self-responsible. If you don't have one of those things, you don't work at Foxybox. And we have ways to test for those things during your interviews and trial shifts and watch for those types of things. So I think doing that work, again, this is something that we did. Angela Cote recommended to us because, again, we were, you know, we're a cool brand and we want a franchise and all of this. But like, who the hell actually are we? So putting in this work early on makes decisions so easy, and it makes it easy to pick the right franchise partners and make sure that all of your staff are awesome and that every store is giving the same experience, because you have all of these things to look for everyone in the system. Yeah, I think our culture is huge. That's what sets us apart in our industry, in the waxing industry. That's why we've got people in Toronto interested in us. We do certainly have some heavy competition that I follow and love from Toronto, but you know, our culture is big.
Very cool. And you know what, that plays very well in hand with what you mentioned before about really carving out the personas and the types of franchisees that you want. So I would love to hear more about how are you vetting franchisees right now? And have you had any learnings from that as well more recently?
We'll get right back to the show, but do you feel frustrated trying to grow your franchise? Are you having trouble balancing your consumer and franchise development marketing? Do you wish there was an easier way?
Imagine if you had a roadmap to take your franchise's marketing from costing you to making you money. That's why we've created the Franchise Growth Blueprint. To find out more, visit franchisegrowthblueprint.com. That's franchisegrowthblueprint.com. Now back to today's episode.
Yeah, I think we're still learning, Jordan, who our perfect franchisee is. We're so new. I mean, we're a baby franchise still. I've got three partners currently, hopefully two more signed on by the end of the year who are rock stars. But we're still learning who our ideal candidate is. And that is trial and error. And that is not trial and, well, yeah, I guess so. You know, those are, that's how I like to learn is trial and error. But yeah, we're still learning who our ideal candidate is. Definitely, you know, we're looking for strong female leaders. That's our number one quality that we're looking for. We can train a lot of things, but again, those three things, positive attitude, empathy, and self-responsible, we look for that in a franchise partner. If you're not, we don't want, you know, we don't really want to be married to you. Yeah, we're going to figure this out. We'll do some more deep diving and debriefing. I like to debrief with my team after every open and go, you know, what could have we done differently? And also, what are some traits and qualities that were a struggle or that you maybe that we didn't see before so that we can test for these things? It's all a part of growth and learning and figuring out who is the ideal partner.
Totally. And you know what? I love how transparent and honest you are. So thank you for that. Because not a lot of people will actually talk about, you know, the trials and errors of figuring out who that perfect franchisee is, yeah, right? Like, sure. It's always, you know, yeah, we've already figured it out, but there's not a lot of insight into that learning period. So thank you so much for sharing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm open about it. There's actually, it's unfortunate that, well, I was almost about to say, and I'm going to say it now. I was going to say it's unfortunate that COVID happened. Obviously, it's unfortunate that COVID happened. But this year, I was asked to speak at an event called Fuck Up Nights, which is like a global event. And it's entrepreneurs get up on stage and talk about their biggest fuck ups. And it's because, you know, entrepreneurs are so scared or embarrassed or shy to talk about their mistakes. And that's when your biggest learning is. So, you know, to be open. One of our core values is we don't beat around the bush. Honesty and transparency are key assets to create credibility and trust. We're open books with everyone. We want to know when we've messed up. Humor is critical is another one of our core values. We want to laugh at it. Hey, we're human. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. Let's be open and honest and move forward, you know, whatever the challenge may be.
So one question I always like to ask, and it may sound a little repetitive, but what advice would you give someone just starting out as a franchisor?
Figure out who you are as a brand and who you want to align yourself with as a company. Mm-hmm. If you can create a decision-making funnel, and I'll make it easy. I'll let you know what ours is. So that you can come up with your own, but having a clear understanding of who you are at the core, what your brand is about, what you want people to remember you for, and who you want to align yourself with. If you can break that down into three simple questions, your life is going to be so easy moving forward. There isn't going to be, oh, well, yeah, maybe we should do this, or maybe we should team up with this person, or yeah, this is, you know, make it clear so that things are easier on you. And also, reach out to people, ask for help, ask questions. Like you were saying, Jordan, before we started recording, I mean, the CFA and everyone in the Canadian franchise world is so supportive and transparent. Like I was saying to you before, you know, some of my competitors that I've met at the conventions are all, yeah, do you have any questions about, you know, when I was new, I had won my one franchise that wasn't very really awesome, you know, I was asking questions and they're so happy to help out. We just want to see people succeed in the franchise world. So, you know, ask questions, but coming up with something to make decisions easier is going to make your life easier. So for example, I mean, I told you our three qualities that we look for in employees, franchise partners, those qualities are great to look for. So coming up with those things, what's important to you to maintain your culture or you as a person, what's important to you? Because essentially you are your brand and you are your business and that's why you're successful. So what are three things that you're important to, traits that you want to see in partners or anyone that you align yourself with? And then also for any big decisions, our decision-making funnel is it profitable? Does it make us and other people feel good? And does it elevate the brand? So if it's no to one of those things, the answer is no. But getting really clear and doing a deep dive on who you are and then breaking that down into how do I figure out if this matches how I feel is going to make things so easy for you.
Totally. It almost makes decision-making pretty close to being black and white. And that, like, from a cognitive level, I'm sure it helps out so much. So you can really focus and hone in on things that are actually important and that will, you know, meet those three criteria.
Totally. And that can, I mean, and having these tools for every aspect. So that's, you know, business decisions. We have one on what qualities we're looking for in a person. We also have one, you know, how do you want to leave the end user feeling? We want to leave women feeling powerful and energized. That's how we want to leave our client. So knowing what that is makes marketing so much easier. Hey, when I look at an image, do I feel powerful and energized when I look at this image? Nah, I feel kind of sad or sexy or weird or, you know, like, okay, that's not the right image that we use. But really being clear on everything, having those tools makes every decision super easy moving forward. So I'd say the first thing for new franchisees or someone who's wanting to franchise, to get clear on who you are as a brand and then come up with some of those tools that are going to help make things easy as you grow.
Totally. I love it. So switching gears, Kyla, we've talked about like your learnings in the past and how you've gotten to where you are today. So looking in the future, what's keeping you up at night right now?
My puppy. Just kidding. He sleeps with me. He's a good sleeper. But what's keeping me up right now? Not, you know what? I think that this is like an acquired skill, and a lot used to keep me up. But now I think with having so many fuck ups under my belt, knowing that like there's an other side of that and you're going to be better on the other side of that makes things, you like when things happen now, you just go, oh, well, what is this going to cost me a bit of money, or I'm going to get a few gray hairs, but like, that's okay. Nothing big has come up for a press that's making me lose sleep. But things that are getting me excited are definitely expanding our brand to the Toronto market, getting onto the East Coast of Canada. Yeah, that does scare the shit out of me too, though. You know, like, whoa, we're going to the other side of the country is big. But I feel so confident in the women that we're aligning ourselves with that it's gonna be awesome. And you know what? Another thing that's, I guess, that I'm excited about is we're looking at opening another flagship location in Vancouver. We really want to have a hub that's easier to get. We're on the island, which is beautiful, but as a hub for people to get to for training, we want to be in a bigger city. So. The Vancouver market is moving so fast, I can't find a real estate location. So that's kind of keeping me up. I'm like, what? We made an offer on Wednesday, went with someone else. And, you know, but that market is just moving so fast. It's just mind blowing to me.
Nice. That's super, super exciting stuff. So with the expansion, you know, towards Eastern Canada, I'm really interested. How have you been acquiring new franchisees from a marketing perspective, especially as an emerging brand?
Yeah, totally. We've tried lots of different portals and avenues. Our first two franchisees we got from Facebook marketing, but both of them are clients as well. So they've experienced our brand, which is also another reason why I think it's important that we have a flagship in downtown Vancouver. We need people to experience our brand. I mean, you remember us. And so our third franchise partner that we got was from a trade show, actually pre-COVID, who's a rock star. She's incredible. That's our Port Coquitlam one. And then our East Coast leads, though, one of them was through the Business Exchange. I don't know if you know Jack Porter. Yeah, so we did a bit of work with them. So one of them came from him. And then another one was just organic, actually. This woman goes to one of our competitors and she loves the experience and the business concept. So did her research, Googled Wax Bar franchises in Canada. She's gone through the franchise process with everyone and decided that she wants to bring our brand to Toronto. So that was just an organic search. Facebook, I think, is one of the ones that we need to be really focusing on again. I mean, who we're looking for is, you know, women aged 30 to 50. And so Facebook and Instagram marketing, I think, is really powerful for us. And we're going to team up with some brokers as well.
Nice. So that's super exciting. I love how you're taking that kind of test and learn method and starting to dial in, right? Because not every franchise is going to be successful with portals or with organic search or with conferences or whatever. So it's really about finding what works for you.
Yeah. I think, Jordan, if we're talking to a landscaping franchise that's catering to young men, I wouldn't recommend Facebook or maybe, I don't know, but it's going to be different for every brand who you're looking for and where you're going to find them. So absolutely, as a young franchise, we are testing different portals and avenues and seeing what's worked best and then we'll go from there.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool, Kyla. So we are coming near the end of our episode. And the way I like to end all of them is with something I call the lightning round. So it's just a bunch of fast-paced questions coming at you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. So first question is, what is your favorite tool or app that you cannot live without?
Monday.com.
Ooh, Monday's great. Mm-hmm. Monday's great. Keeps you very organized.
It is great for task management, project management, especially as we grow and scale. You can assign things. I don't need to be an advertisement for Monday.com. It's just like sells itself. It's so incredible. I couldn't live without it.
Awesome. Second question is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Richard Branson's book. He's got a few of them. Like a Virgin, I think is what it is. Mm-hmm. His was really great. I read so many books all the time, so it's really hard to just pick one. And I like to switch it up from business books to like real life stories, marketing, business. I liked Richard Branson's Like a Virgin because it was really, I think I read that kind of at the beginning when I was first starting Foxy Box. And the way he's just creative and thought outside of the box about marketing and branding really resonated with me. So I really like that. But again, I mean, I read so many books. I love them. I love, there's a million of them. I could send a list.
Very cool. And who is a franchise leader that you look up to?
Kristen Woods. She's the founder of the 10 Spot. And I actually, Jordan, when I went to the CFA for the first time, I've seen like some famous people in real life and I didn't get like nervous or weirded out. I saw Kristen Woods at the CFA and I actually like fan geeked out over her. I was like, there's Kristen Woods. You know? And I met her and she's so friendly and so sweet. And she was the one like, if you've got any questions, like reach out, she's so awesome. But I definitely look up to her. She's a young, fierce female in Toronto. They've got over 30 locations. They're expanding to the US now. I think she's just killing it and she's a rock star. And I definitely like, I'm a fan.
Awesome. I love it. So Kyla, last question, I promise. Where can people find out more about you and your franchise?
Yeah. So you can head over to foxyboxfranchise.com. You can see, if you want to do more of a deep dive on our brand and our business, foxyboxwaxbar.com. You can see all the services that we offer, an about section, and then the franchise website, there's a link on that as well. But foxyboxfranchise.com, we've got a webinar that we've recorded on there. Lots of great information and come check us out.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your experience.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Franchise Marketing Podcast. If you found this episode useful, share it with a friend and subscribe now so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. And until then, happy marketing.